ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I'm in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropped the presentations on over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the bear.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
See no longer.
Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
It is the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. Let's continue our Illini and college hoops talk as we push forward. I want to get back to the AP Top 25 as we look at that. And here's the question, and Kyle and I were joking a little bit off the air. You know, everyone, Brad Underwood is someone that says this, and really a lot of coaches out there, whether you're probably in the big conferences like the Big Ten, the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12. We're in the best league in the country.
If you watched any coach, so if you watched the 2 hours where they had the coaches go up to the podium at the Big Ten press conference, I went through and watched most of them because we were playing that game with Lon to see if he could name them last week.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this one guy that sits up there and is like, well, now we're now introducing Brad Underwood from the University of Illinois. We'll let you start with an opening statement, coach, and then we'll take questions. Every single coach, it's all right. We'll let you start with an opening statement, coach. Well, thanks to everybody for being here. We got the best league in the country here. We're excited to play. Next coach comes up. Well, it's a gauntlet here in the Big Ten, as we all know. Every game is tough. That's why we got one of the best leagues in the country. Well, thanks, everyone, for being here. We got a heck of a league here in the Big Ten. We know this is the best league in the country. Every coach is just, I mean, somebody say something different. Credit to Tom Izzo, I was telling you after the break. He didn't say that. He just said, well, listen, Purdue's got a heck of a team. Matt's got a great group there, but we think we can challenge for the top of the league. He only mentioned Purdue and Michigan State instead of saying every team was amazing. So, I mean, Tom Izzo for you, but I mean, come on, man.
As I told you, I was like, he could have, another coach would have been like, yeah, and you know, watch out for Chris. You know, Northwestern last year, did you see them? They had a pretty nice season. Don't be shocked. Northwestern wins the league. And you know, Pike out there in Piscataway, that's a really tough place to play. And, you know,
I'm a real fan of Ben Johnson in Minnesota. I think they got a real chance to compete this year.
The Barn, did you see the 12 people that showed up at their games last year? Yeah. I mean, that'll psych you out. You never know. And, you know, Fred out there in Lincoln's going to figure it out at some point, I think. But, no, on a serious note, I did want to ask you, that's kind of a conversation. We talked probably a little bit about this last season. And going into the year, it was a unique spot for the Big Ten to be in because there wasn't a top echelon team nationally, at least considered going into the season. I know Purdue ultimately being a one seed was considered one of those, although widely regarded as the most vulnerable one seed, and that played out by them losing in the first round. But Indiana was the highest ranked Big Ten team going into last season, like 13th or 14th, I think, nationally. And it was the first time in forever, if ever, in the history of the AP poll that the Big Ten didn't have a team in the top 10. This year, of course, they have those, Purdue and Michigan State. I know you've said this, and maybe we can touch on this a little bit. Michigan State too high at 4? Are people drinking the Kool-Aid a little too much with them?
4 in the country, I was surprised. I think they're clearly in that top tier of the Big Ten. I'm not arguing that, but 4th in the country, I just like, I feel like every year we do this where it's a team brings a lot back from the year before, but they weren't actually all that good the year before. And we're giving them this big bump because everyone's back. And really for Michigan State, like, yeah, obviously you get that backcourt back. That's huge. They're going to be a very good team. But you lose your best shooter in Hauser, and you're bringing in a freshman class, a really good freshman class with Jeremy Fears and Xavier Booker. But yep. Apparently people are thinking that Xavier Booker as an 18-year-old freshman is going to completely fix the front court issues with Michigan State and be a superstar big man from day one. I'm not really buying that. Obviously, he's talented, but he's also pretty skinny, I've seen. Mm-hmm. He's not totally built up yet. Like, yeah, this was a 7 seed last year that, yeah, they get their backcourt back, but really 4th in the country? I think it's one of those classic, like, with North Carolina the year before, where it's like they were an 8 seed in the tournament, and they bring most of their team back, their number one preseason. Guess what happened? I'm not saying Michigan State's going to miss the tournament. They're going to be very good. I'm skeptical that they're the 4th best team in all of college basketball.
Yeah, I mean, people pushed back last year on Indiana, getting a lot of the preseason hype. Now, they turned out to be pretty good. They didn't win the league, but and they didn't get to the Sweet 16 either. But and that's been a knock on a lot of the Big Ten teams here recently. On that note, I don't think the Big Ten was the best league in the country last year. I don't think the Big Ten was the best league in the country this year, even though they have two of the top 4 teams in the AP Top 25. I'm with you on Michigan State. I think that that's a little rich for me. I'd probably put Marquette in front of them and maybe a handful of those other teams in that same kind of range. Like, this was a squad that I think Tom Izzo, and this points to how important and how much March controls narratives. Now, I know some people push back on that and say that, you know, it's not all about a single elimination tournament where anything can happen. I in my opinion, you know, the NFL playoffs, you get remembered for where you go, whether you go to the Super Bowl and that type of thing. You got to win when it matters most. But like, Tom Izzo and Michigan State was considered like a winner of Tom's approach going into last year was, I'm not dealing with the portal. Yeah, I got a good roster. I could have made it a great roster by going out and getting a big man and using the appeal that has been one of the best programs over the last 2 decades, but he didn't. He wanted to be loyal to his guys and really just push back on this new school of roster building. But if he would have not made the Sweet 16 as he did, they pushed and were on the brink of going the Elite Eight, they took Kansas State to overtime, it would have been a different narrative. And if you would have ended the eval, you know, in the at the Big Ten tournament or right before that, this was a team that they were 12-4 early January. They were 4-1 in the league. They went 7-7 the rest of the regular season. They were 11-8 in the conference last year. They lost in the opener game of the Big Ten tournament, lost to Ohio State. And like you said, they were 7th seed. They got the benefit of facing Shaka Smart, who after leaving VCU has forgotten how to win a tournament game. I guess he won one with Marquette last year, but that's all he's really had on his resume. So I love Tyson Walker, A.J. Hogard, throw Jaden Akins in that mix. They got a really good backcourt. And even if they were to sustain an injury, and I know that we're talking about experienced guys versus a freshman in Jeremy Fears, but I think he's talented. Like, he's athletic. He's going to be a good defender, a good facilitator as he grows into that role in East Lansing. But Hauser is a loss for them for sure. And I'm dicey on their front court yet again. I liked Xavier Booker, watching him and come up in AAU, but he is kind of – he's skinny, and can he be physical enough down low? That's a question I have. So I think there's a tinge of overreaction and overhype out of Michigan State, but I understand it at the same time.
217 says, Michigan State will take lumps during the season, and at times people will think that they were overrated, but they will still probably have the most success come NCAA tournament time. I'm probably right with that text. Yeah. I agree with that. I think – I don't think they're going to be the number 4 team in the country during the regular season. I think that is a little bit too high. However, if you are asking me preseason, pick a Big Ten team to make the deepest run in March, I would go with Michigan State. I know that roll your eyes all you want at the Izzo thing. He's the most proven coach. It's probably one of the more experienced teams. It's got the most experienced backcourt. Guard plays huge in March. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm probably taking Michigan State. I'm still not buying Purdue in March. And you can't really – I couldn't – confidently say any other team in the Big Ten. So I probably agree with that. I do think it is. It's probably, there's probably gonna be a moment in January where we're back on the show like, see, Michigan State, they weren't all that great. But I think they ultimately will probably be your safest bet come postseason time.
I absolutely 100% agree with that text and that way of thinking. I just, yeah, to echo what you said, to me, probably it seems a little rich to say they're a top five team in the country. But, yeah, I do think that they're well-equipped to make a run. And I do still like their team quite a bit. Think they could beat Purdue for the league potentially, even though that's going to be a monster in the regular season. Let's answer the question then. Everyone says they're the best league in the country. Maybe even like, you know, Princeton and Harvard go to the podium at the Ivy League media day if they have one of those and say, you know, with the academics that we face, this is the toughest league in the country because we got really tough classes and lectures and whatnot. But I joke. What is the best league in the country? Last year it was the Big 12 by far and away. You look at Kansas, Baylor, Texas, Kansas State going to the Elite Eight. Like, it was definitely the Big 12. You look in the AP Top 25, the Big 12 has three teams. Now, some big ones there when you got Kansas. Now you got Houston, Kansas number one, Houston number seven. And then you go down a little bit further. You got Baylor at number 20. The SEC actually has the most vote getters or spot holders, I should say, in the top 25. You've got Tennessee at 9. You've got Arkansas, Texas A&M, Kentucky, all consecutively 14 through 16. And then you get another one in Alabama at 24. And the Big East, three in the top 10, Marquette, UConn, and Creighton. And then they also have Villanova. So that makes up four for the Big East. So to recap, you get five out of the SEC, four out of the Big East, three out of the Big 12, three out of the Big 10, that being Purdue, Michigan State, and Illinois. Who do you think is the best league in the country?
I think it's the Big East. I last year they were so good and so fun. Obviously, the national champion came out of the Big East. And this year, I think, again, when you talk about just a mix of I think the bottom of their conference is bad. I get that. But Marquette, UConn, and Creighton, I think, are three very deserving top 10 caliber basketball teams. Marquette, obviously, they bring back everybody except Prosper from last year. Mm-hmm. One of the best point guards in the country. I think they're going to be awesome. UConn, like, they lose a couple of pieces from last year with Andre Jackson and who was the shooter? I can't remember his name. Jordan Hawkins.
Yeah, Jordan Hawkins.
But they and Klingon. Sanogo. But they have Klingon, who was I think he's going to be almost as good as Sanogo. He's a beast. They bring back their point guard. They bring in Cam Spencer from Rutgers, who I think is a big piece, and they have a top 10 national freshman in Stephon Castle.
Yep.
I think that is going to be a really good team again. And then Creighton, they get Kalkbrenner back, they get Trey Alexander back, they get Shireman back, and they add Ashworth from Utah State as their point guard. I know they lost Nemhard, but I think at the end of the day, it's going to be kind of a wash on that front. I think those are three really, really good teams. And then now you got Rick Pitino at St. John's, who's going to be creeping up. I think that's going to be a tournament team. Villanova's ranked. They got a couple transfers, and then they got Justin Moore back, despite rumors that he was going in the portal, right? Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a solid Villanova team, I think. And then even like a Xavier and a Providence, I think, will be tournament teams. I think it's the Big East. I think Big 12 is going to be good and probably the deepest when you go towards the bottom. Like last year, every team in the conference was like on the bubble of the tournament. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably going to be similar. And I think the SEC depth-wise, obviously with 14 teams, like you go deeper down, you're going to have higher quality. But I'm going with the Big East.
I like your pick. I'm surprised that Jaden Epps and his 46 points for Georgetown isn't part of your argument.
Have we mentioned that on this program yet?
217 just conveniently texted that in at the same time. Said, sorry, I just got in the car.
Georgetown's going to be terrible, but that was...
They're going to be awful.
And that's true, too, right? That's like confirmed. Yeah, that John Fanta was the one who reported it.
Fanta's legit.
He's legit. Are we serious?
And what he hit? He was like 6 of 11 from 3. Illinois could really use...
Are we serious?
Jaden Epps. No, it's very serious.
Now,
he's not going to go Brandon Podziemski and be a first-round pick in this year in Georgetown. But
I think he could, like, average 17 points and not be an NBA draft pick, because I think there's some defensive and size concerns. But in terms of, I think he could have a pretty darn good year at Georgetown. Like, I think obviously that whole situation played out the way it did, but Jaden Epps, if plant him on this Illinois team this year, I think you feel a little better about him.
I feel a decent amount better about him. I know that he'd still have to show, and I think people would still wonder, can he make people around him better? My pushback on that is, if we ended the evaluation on a guy's ability to play point guard and, like, understand the game and see reads and make passes, like, Trent Frazier would have never been a guy, I don't feel like you would see him as a full-time ball-in-the-hand point guard, which he was, you know, down the stretch of his tenure after Io left, and you really got 1 year there, a fifth-year Trent Frazier. I think on paper his assist numbers are maybe a little bit higher as a freshman than Jaden Epps was. Now, that Epps was playing on a better team, obviously. I just think in time he can polish up a little bit more as a passer and a decision maker. He's always going to be score first, which I think he's going to do really well. And it's a bad team there for Georgetown, so they need that out of him. But the efficiency and the 3-point shooting is something that popped off the screen when you see that on Twitter. And obviously Illinois has questions about point guard play and shooting. So really, the marriage there was broken. Like, Epps and the people around him, his dad, his trainer, they were out on Brad Underwood. They didn't like seeing some of the in-your-face altercations that happened during games. And Brad didn't like the fact at all that he quit on him during the Northwestern game, like, refused to go back in the game. So regardless how you – and, like, you can have an opinion on, you know, did Brad push him too hard? Was Epps too selfish or too fragile, whatever you want to say. If you want to pick a side there, it just didn't work out. But, that's a hard one to stomach. And if Illinois does have point guard issues going through this year, if Ty isn't going to play that position well enough and has issues, or you know, DGL's not ready, then Jaden's productivity, if he continues on that path, and he's not going to put up 46, I don't think, too often, but that could be one that makes it hard to watch.
Yeah. Who you got for best league in the country? Because we do need to take a break, or I'm going to be playing a 14-minute
Here's an infomercial. Yeah. I will say, I was looking at the Big 12, and I my first thought was I'd probably still rock with the Big 12. And I think the top half of them, or the top portion of them, Kansas, Houston, Baylor, Texas, I still really, really like that top four. I'm curious to see what Kansas State's going to look like in year two under Jerome Tang. I mean, they lose Keontae Johnson. They lose
Marquise Noel.
Yeah. We're able to go in the portal and get Tyler Perry, who's thought to be a really good point guard out of North Texas, and we'll see what that looks like. But
they got another transfer, didn't they? Yeah. Decently high caliber.
I forget. I'll have to pull it up.
Yeah, I'll look while you're
here on Bart Torvik. But you go down the list after that, you know, TCU, Iowa State, BYU, Texas Tech. It's not as deep as, like, the SEC. The SEC is going to be deeper. I'd even argue that the Big Ten, in terms of NCAA tournament quality, you could maybe say the Big Ten has more of that. But kind of my big over – I like your pick of the Big East. My big overarching point is that the Big Ten's definitely not the best league in the country. And depending on your evaluation of it, you could say they're third, maybe even fourth.
I'd go fourth. I'd probably go Big East, Big 12, SEC, Big 10.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you need a little bit more productivity in the tournament. They get a number of teams in, but even last year was a step back in terms of, like, ranked squads, how many they get in, and then those numbers in the Sweet 16 and beyond need to get bolstered up for the Big Ten to kind of reshape its national perspective, no matter how many times those coaches say it's the best league in the country. We got to catch a break. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255. Let us know your thoughts. Who you taking best league in the country going into this college hoop season? We can talk NFL before we get out of here, and anything else you want to hear. Let us know. This is The Drive.
With the leaves and temperatures beginning to fall, it's time to make sure those furnaces are in great running order. Get that furnace tuned up so it doesn't let you down on the cold nights.
Dogtown is the People's Choice number one HVAC company again in 2023. Ask about the current 0% financing offer on all Lennox high comfort systems and single component units for qualifying applicants. The number's 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend.
Illini fans, take the opportunity to head down to Game Day Spirits' Green Street location, shop their awesome selection of Fighting Illini merchandise. While you're there, shop some of their awesome buy one, get one free t-shirt designs, as well as their Nike section and so much more. With new styles coming in daily, there's sure to be something for every Illini fan. Shop them at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing, too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Switching is easy. We do it all the time. We switch on the lights. We switch TV channels. Some of us switch partners while square dancing. Well, that's a stretch. But what's not a stretch is how you can switch and save with State Farm. In fact, the Brian Hansen State Farm agency right here in Champaign-Urbana can switch you over and you can start saving today. Our team is ready to welcome you to the State Farm neighborhood. With the Brian Hansen State Farm agency, it's easy to switch and save. Just give our team a call at 217-344-1900 when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued.
Garage for now. Put it in the garage for now. Put it in the garage for now. Put it in the garage for now.
It happens. You got junk. Call two men and a truck to get rid of all your junk, residential or commercial. Two men and a truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com. Two men
in a truck. Well, you got events all week long. I mean, it's dinner on the quad Monday, homecoming international day celebration Tuesday, Greek support homecoming, among other things, on Wednesday. Thursday's the Shabbat campus for Jewish life dedication ribbon cutting.
We will have, you know, a lot of featured guests throughout the week, obviously. Yeah. The homecoming parade on Friday. That'll be at 5:30.
You know, global talent show is on Tuesday night, and there's just so many fun festivities. Where do we go for more information?
Absolutely. Homecoming.illinois.edu. Cool. Go Illini.
It's that time of year again when the Pregnancy Resource Center begins to prepare for their annual fundraising banquet. The 2023 banquet will be held on Friday, October 20th at 7 p.m. at the I Hotel in Champaign. Keynote speakers this year will be from the hit reality show Duck Dynasty, Al and Lisa Robertson. Married for over 30 years, the couple will openly share their hardships as they counsel couples in trouble across the country at churches and pregnancy centers. For more information or to make a donation, visit chprcevents.org.
Carl works every day to improve the health of community members across the region, and it would not be possible without team members like Sierra Poole, phlebotomy lab lead at Carl Foundation Hospital.
I love working at Carl because of the togetherness among the phlebotomy team and the opportunity to advance within the department.
If you're looking for an opportunity to serve your community like Sierra in a supportive environment with opportunities for growth, visit carl.org/careers.
Let Max Twin City Recycling pay you for your junk metal items. As the weather begins to heat up, now is a great time to put cash in your pocket for the steel, copper, brass, and aluminum items you've been meaning to get rid of. We've recently added a large concrete pad to make unloading quicker and cleaner for our customers. Visit us on North Lincoln Avenue, just north of I-74, or at maxrecycling.com.
These days, it seems like bank names are changing faster than a forecast in February. But at Iroquois Federal, we're still the same community bank we've always been. For more than 135 years, we've built relationships by helping build the things that matter, whether it's a business, a back porch, or the building blocks of a better life. If you're looking for a bank that's here for the long haul, swing by today and see for yourself why different rules. Iroquois Federal, still friendly, still local, still here.
The Champaign Park District has some terrific fall events to jot down on your day planner. Flannel Fest will be in downtown Champaign in Westside Park from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. October 14th and 15th with music, a mustache contest, and lumberjack show. The Great Pumpkin Hunt has you looking for small painted rocks in area parks throughout the month of October. On Wednesday, October 25th at Marketplace Mall between 5 and 7 p.m., enjoy the free Halloween Fun Fest. Learn more at champaignparks.com.
Get the roof your home deserves by Roof Doctors, your residential roofing specialist that has always offered the best warranties in the industry, like our non-prorated 50-year warranty. Our customers love that we are family-owned and locally operated. We make our customer needs our top priority. With over 30 years' experience and the best customer service, give Roof Doctors a call today for your free estimate at 328-7529. In your community and for your community, Roof Doctors.
When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champaign, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars, they're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champaign. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champaign.com.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued.
Garage for now. Put it in the garage for now. Put it in the garage for now. Put it in the garage for now.
It happens. You got junk. Call two men and a truck to get rid of all your junk, residential or commercial. Two men and a truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com.
Two men in a truck.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Yeah, Lon, would appreciate the Will Smith. Nice drop there, Kyle. It is The Drive with Sam Piper, Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. Let's transition, talk a little NFL coming out of the weekend. Maybe we'll start with last night's game, a hotly contested battle between the Cowboys and the Chargers. Thought it'd be a little bit higher scoring, but 20-17, that Chargers offense really sputtered for most of that game. Justin Herbert, I figured, would have a better day. We talked about it after the show, Kyle, that you know, not everybody has the luxury of being the Miami Dolphins and being the greatest show on South Beach. But
what is the name that they were saying? They had some, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it was the greatest show on turf, but like a knockoff of that. I mm-hmm. can't remember what the name is now. I'm a terrible Dolphins fan.
Trading your gear, I'll tell
greatest
you.
Show on surf. That's
oh,
what it was.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I like that.
And I've also heard Legion of Vroom. And like, let's come up with our own name. We don't need to knock off all these other.
I like the Legion
ones.
Of Surf a little bit better.
The greatest show on surf. Yeah, that
or
one.
Greatest show on surf. Yeah, I like that. I like that. What'd you learn last night? You look at the Chargers 2-3. They got to make the playoffs at the very least. Your Brandon Staley needs to get canned.
Boy.
Nice bounce back for Dallas after getting embarrassed against the Niners. I still like this Dallas team. I think their defense is pretty good. And do you trust Dak in big moments? I mean, that's going to be a reoccurring thing until he gets back in the postseason or you know, they're trying to win a division or anything like that. But how do you feel about what came out of that game in terms of Dallas or LA or both?
Yeah, I think Dallas – first off, their defense is legit. I mean, that's one of the best defenses in football. They were great last night. I mean, Micah Parsons is dominant. Even they lose Trayvon Diggs, and they're still, I think they're still great. And, yeah, I mean, Dak played pretty well last night. It was a struggle. Herbert played terribly. I mean, his ultimate stat line didn't look awful, but he was missing so many throws. I know he's got a broken finger on his non-throwing hand, which I don't know how much that affects a quarterback. He should still be able to hit, like, open guys, and he was just missing some easy throws. And it seems like the problem with him is that it just it seems like he hasn't come through in some of those big time like late game drive situations the last couple of years. Like, it seems like the Chargers are that team, like they're almost the reverse Vikings where they lose all these close games because they always are in these games and they have a chance to win and they don't win.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like all three of their losses this year, like week one against the Dolphins, Tua goes down and score. The Dolphins offense goes down, takes the lead with like a minute 50 left. Herbert gets the ball back and they don't do anything. They played, who was their other loss? The Titans, I think they lost to this year, where they had multiple chances to win that game, and then the Titans kick a game-winning field goal in overtime. And now they're right in this Dallas game on the road, and you got a chance with the ball back. Now, I get it. You know, I think they had no timeouts and a minute something left, but you throw a pick game over like that. The Chargers just, they're so much better than what their record has been under Brandon Staley.
Got a lot of talent.
So much better than what their record has been. They've got the quarterback to win in the AFC. Like, it's just, it's frustrating as a football fan to see this Chargers team just never be anything, because I think they should be.
Yeah.
And last night was another situation where you go on the road against a great Dallas defense. Their defense showed up. I mean, Tony Pollard couldn't do anything. Dak made a couple of plays, but it was kind of a defensive battle, and then you make one play at the end there. Dallas gets into field goal range, and the Chargers can't do the same, and they lose. It seems like the story of the Staley era in now Los Angeles mm-hmm. with the Chargers is just they got the talent, they're in every game, and their record ends up being mediocre.
Yeah, no, and that was really the best the Chargers' defense has looked, at least against a legit opponent to date, and they've got – a lot of talent on that side of the ball when you look at, you know, Khalil Mack and Bosa and Derwin James and on down the line. But you kind of a few years ago, like Herbert, from the moment, you know, he was a rookie and really was like, oh, man, look at all this talent this guy has. And you mix in Brandon Staley, too. I think at first it was kind of exciting where it's like, oh, he's going for it on every fourth down. He's like a 12-year-old on Madden. He never punts it. And now it's just like once every big game, they make a dumbfounding decision to go for it on fourth and it doesn't work. And they should have either like taken the 3 points or punted it because they're deep in their own territory. And they're just doing dumb stuff and they're losing. And as Richard says on the U of I line, like text line, like think back. I don't think any Chargers fan's ever going to forget blowing a huge lead that they had.
That was the biggest one.
Against the Jaguars in the postseason.
I still can't believe, and we've said this multiple times, I still can't believe Staley survived that. How do you survive that?
I have no idea. No idea. But Chargers got to get it together. The AFC is tough, and Dallas with a nice bounce back. Speaking of which, in the NFC, you know, Dallas thought to be, along with the Eagles and the Niners among the class in the NFC, but another team is planting their flag as a legit contender, and there was a lot of hype about this squad going into the season, and they're 5-1, that being the Detroit Lions, winning 20-6 on the road at Tampa Bay. You buying the Lions as a legit Super Bowl team?
I am. I just that you look through what they've done so far this year. I mean, they've comfortably cruised to all these victories other than that first one against the Chiefs, but any win against the Chiefs will play. You know, they lose week two against Seattle in a high scoring game that came down to the wire, and then the last 4 weeks they've just cruised. I mean, I know their schedule hasn't been a gauntlet here, but that just it looks like a team that's taken care of business against inferior teams. That offense has been very good. The defense is just so improved from last year. I mean, it's massively improved. You think they hold the Bucs. I know the Baker Mayfield Bucs offense is, you know, you don't need to take that all that seriously. But 6 points, I mean, the Bucs did nothing. I'm trying to think back to their last couple of games. But they've just comfortably gotten to 5-1. And I think in an NFC that, yeah, are they the Niners or the Eagles? No, I don't think they're on the level of those teams. But I think that they are probably the third best team in the NFC, and you sell me on a matchup between the Lions and an Eagles or one of the, like they can compete. I think they're at a point where they're probably a year or two away from truly being like, okay, this is a no doubt Super Bowl contender, one of the favorites. But this year, I think they're going to be sneaky. I think they're going to be one of those dark horse picks come playoff time. Like, oh, the Lions are the dark horse. I think could win the NFC. I don't think it's out of the question. I think they're, you know, I guess I shouldn't have answered the question as fast as I did in terms of are you buying them as a Super Bowl contender. I think they're right on the edge. I think they are a legitimately very good football team that does have a couple hurdles to climb in the NFC still, but I think I'm definitely buying that this 5-1 is a real 5-1.
No, it's a real 5-1 for sure, and they're going to run away with the NFC North. I know that's not a hot take by any means. I do want to see their defense against a tougher task, sure. Like the fact of they get Mahomes, which isn't anything to scoff at, but no Travis Kelce in that game. They win that. You know, they get their biggest wins, that they beat KC, they win at Lambeau and beat, you know, Jordan Love and company. I think now people a little bit lower on the Packers after, oh no, he might be another Hall of Fame quarterback in Lambeau. But and then, you know, Tampa, they're going to be a contender and kind of a mediocre NFC South. But yeah, I don't love that offense right now, but I think offensively for Detroit, they got really everything you want. I mean, they've got a great offensive line. They got weapons in the passing game. Laporta's really popped here as a rookie. Jameson Williams is back to go with a legit number one in St. Brown. And like Montgomery, I know now is banged up, and maybe that means more carries for Jahmyr Gibbs, who's coming off an injury himself. And Jared Goff will still probably be somebody that, in comparison to a Jalen Hurts, in comparison, now, I mean, Brock Purdy's a guy that doesn't have a whole lot of you know, reputation behind him either, but there'll be some detractors of whether Goff can take them all the way to the Super Bowl. I might still lean, I think Dallas or Detroit for like that third best team in the NFC is probably one that is a tough decision for me. I might still lean Dallas, but I do think the Lions are very much legit, and they're going to be a factor in the postseason for sure. On the note of the Eagles, there were a couple surprises in the NFL over the weekend, and mostly for some NFC top-tier teams. And first off, let's say the Eagles going on the road and losing their first game of the season to Zach Wilson's Jets, 20-14. Jalen Hurts throws three picks. He's already thrown
a number of
them this year. I don't know what
he's
it is.
He's got seven touchdowns and seven picks.
Wow. I think he threw six picks all of last season. His MVP season only had six the entire year. But made some bad decisions. The Jets do have a good defense. But, I mean, that was a surprising result, especially considering, you know, Sauce Gardner was out and their other starting corner. DJ Reed was out. And for the Eagles to lose that game, that was a surprise.
Yeah, the Eagles have been they've been kind of playing with fire a little bit early in the year. I mean, you look back early on, they squeaked past the Patriots in week one. That's a disastrous Patriots team. Mm. They squeaked past the Vikings. Well, no, I shouldn't say squeak past in that Thursday night game because they kind of controlled that and the score was probably closer than it was. But they didn't necessarily look dominant in that game. You squeak past a disastrous Commanders team in overtime at home by a field goal. You know, and so it's it feels like that this loss was coming for them, and I didn't expect it to be against the Jets. But the interesting thing about the Eagles, you look at their schedule coming up now. I mean, a 5-1 start is massive for them because here's their upcoming schedule. Dolphins, Commanders, Cowboys, Chiefs, Bills, 49ers, Cowboys.
Good Lord.
Like, wow. That's a football team that could – You tell me that they're what? So that's seven games right there. You tell me they go 3-4 in those seven games and are 8-5. Like, that's not really surprising me very much. Like, it's they needed to go 5-1 or better in the start of the season because that is a gauntlet. I'm very excited for the Sunday night game this week, Dolphins Eagles. But the Eagles team, it's interesting. They're very good. The defense is outstanding. That defensive front is the best in football. Pass rush, best in football. But I don't know. Jalen Hurts doesn't look like the version that we saw last year, and the offense has some questions.
Yeah, and maybe it is a little bit of the Super Bowl appearance hangover. And, you know, there's been times where we've seen, like, Chiefs teams, not that they should be in the same category as Patrick Mahomes, who's got couple rings himself, but they've kind of been in like cruise control mode where they get a little bored in the regular season. And I'm not saying again that that's necessarily where the Eagles should be, but maybe in some of those matchups against a Patriots squad or a Viking squad, Commander squad, is some of that going on. I'm not sure. We'll find out soon, you know, going up against the Dolphins, whether there's really Big time.
It's a huge test for both teams because I know that there's a narrative out there that the Dolphins haven't beaten anybody yet, which I can't really argue with. So that's it's going to be a big test for both teams.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's fair to say. But I think that A.J. Brown, there's nothing wrong with what he's got going on right now. I mean, he's putting up 100-plus every week. They got to get Devontae Smith going a little bit more. And then, yeah, we'll see. We'll see if this team, still very talented, still very high on them, what they can do. Last one before we catch another break. Let's hit on, what do you want to go? The Niners and Browns.
For the first time.
Got to mention that one. I mean, P.J. Walker starting for Cleveland. Just seemed like there was going to be – I mean, P.J. Walker couldn't win the backup job in Chicago.
Over Tyson Bagent.
And now, you know, you go to Cleveland. It was supposed to be bad weather. It didn't seem like it was anything, like, crazy. But the Niners let one slip. They missed a late field goal, and the Browns come away with a 19-17 win.
Browns' defense is incredible.
Man.
I mean, that's the most underrated – like, yeah. Deshaun hasn't looked himself. I know he's been hurt here recently, and the offense hasn't been very good, but that is probably the best defense in the NFL is the Cleveland Browns. And we talk a lot about the Eagles. We talk a lot about the Cowboys. We talk a lot about the Niners. I think the Browns defense might be the top of the top, and that's just a really impressive win. But even still, like, the 49ers, Brock Purdy didn't have a great game. I know people were quick to dunk on that one. But to me, like, the Niners – where I get P.J. Walker started, but against the best defense in football on the road, they had to miss a 41-yard field goal to lose, and there were some questionable calls on their last on the Browns' last drive to even give them the lead. Like, they had to have a lot of things go really wrong, and they were still in position to win. Like, I'm still all in on the Niners. This changes nothing for me.
Yeah, no. Just the previous week, the Niners lit up a very, very good defense in Dallas. Yep. So I think that's something that I'm not maybe questioning until he does it in the playoffs. You know, they made a run to the NFC Championship game last year, but I think Purdy's still going to have some questions in terms of can he get it done and get them all the way to the Super Bowl and win it. But, yeah, I think it's more of a credit to Cleveland, given the circumstances with no Deshaun, to show up with their defense. And you mentioned underrated. I think it's a good point on Cleveland's defense. Like, Amari Cooper – I think he's one of the most underrated wide receivers
yes.
in football. Like, since moving from Dallas, takes him out of the spotlight a little bit, but he's had nothing but productivity for the Browns, and that's obviously still a squad that is a big factor in the AFC North. Let's catch another break. We'll return. There's a couple of texts in the U of I Atlanta Link text line that we'll get to, and then we'll wrap the show. This is The Drive.
Hey, Illini fans, it's the best time of the year, homecoming. We can't wait to see you back on campus and at Memorial Stadium on Saturday, October 21st, versus Wisconsin. Make sure to get in town early Friday for the homecoming parade and pep rally. Tailgating, family, homecoming, and Illinois football. What could be better than that? Get tickets at FightingIllini.com.
Are you tired of getting the short end of the stick and always being stuck with cold water for your showers? Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing is here to help. With current tax incentives and rebates, you can save up to $900 on a high-efficiency tankless water heater, unlimited hot water, and saving on your energy bills. It seems like the best gift you could give your home. With the current promotion of 0% financing for qualified applicants, you can't afford not to call. 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing. Your home's best friend.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Well, you got events all week long. I mean, it's dinner on the quad Monday, homecoming International Day celebration Tuesday, Greek support homecoming, among other things, on Wednesday. Thursday's the Shabbat campus for Jewish life dedication ribbon cutting.
We will have, you know, a lot of featured guests throughout the week, obviously. Yeah. The homecoming parade on Friday. That'll be at 5:30.
You know, global talent shows on Tuesday night, and there's just so many fun festivities. Where do we go for more information?
Absolutely. Homecoming.illinois.edu. Cool. Go, Alina.
It's that time of year again when the Pregnancy Resource Center begins to prepare for their annual fundraising banquet. The 2023 banquet will be held on Friday, October 20th at 7 p.m. at the I Hotel in Champaign. Keynote speakers this year will be from the hit reality show Duck Dynasty, Al and Lisa Robertson. Married for over 30 years, the couple will openly share their hardships as they counsel couples in trouble across the country at churches and pregnancy centers. For more information or to make a donation, visit chprcevents.org.
I'm Justin Eint, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
Your sewer's backed up and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars. Here's my price. And you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible that you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first or you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's Justin Eink, the co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground. If you want more information about this great 45-year family-owned company, just go to fredscu.com. That's fredscu.com. Well, you got events all week long. I mean, it's dinner on the quad Monday, homecoming International Day celebration Tuesday, Greek support homecoming, among other things, on Wednesday. Thursday's the Shabbat campus for Jewish life dedication ribbon cutting.
We will have, you know, a lot of featured guests throughout the week, obviously. Yeah. The homecoming parade on Friday. That'll be at 5:30.
You know, global talent shows on Tuesday night, and there's just so many fun festivities. Where do we go for more information?
Absolutely. Homecoming.illinois.edu.
Cool. Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases. Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance.
I've got to clean out this garage. Let's see. What's the cheapest and easiest dumpster service in our area?
Here's what I found. The doggy bag.
Think she's broken. I'm not looking for takeout. Siri, try again.
The doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet.
Doggy bag? What's that?
If you got junk that needs to go, but you don't want the hassle of having an enormous dumpster delivered, grab a doggy bag, keep it as long as you need. They'll come take it away. For more information, just visit bulldoggybag.com.
That's bulldoggybag.com.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Kyle's still getting fancy. It's the no hands, being able to...
No hands music.
No hands right after the commercial, then the intro, or the drop hits. I'm like, man, that's fancy. Fancy stuff. You gotta teach me how to do it.
Thing that's come out of me running the board so far.
I don't know. I mean, that's innovation because I don't know. I don't even know how to do it. But yeah, good stuff. Let's get to some of the texts on the U of I Atlanta League text line before we get out of here. I know that we got a kind of a array of different thoughts here. I know Bill said earlier, I'll at least mention it. I don't have a whole lot else to comment on. He said, how about an annual four-team tournament the first weekend of April with Illinois, Purdue, Iowa, and Iowa State? None will still have games left.
Yikes.
Ouch.
Man, it's just so time for Illinois to be out of that group of March disappointments, man. Come on.
It's true. Gotta at least get to a Sweet 16 to quiet the masses, and then we'll see. I think this team is obviously capable of putting a run together. You look at KenPom, they like them even more than the AP poll does. They got them at 19 overall going into this upcoming season. I was a little surprised, Kyle, to look at the – now, these are all projected analytics. There's nothing on paper right now for any team that says, hey, this is what they're going to be, other than maybe some prior stats from the players involved in the roster. But Illinois analytics, 19 on KenPom, 18th in projected offensive efficiency, 21st in projected defensive efficiency. I was a little surprised that their offensive number one was higher than their defense, and that people think, at least the computer that here is, for KenPom says a top 20 offense.
I'm a big KenPom guy, but that is mind-boggling to me. And how do you come up with a preseason analytical ranking? Is it just you're taking each individual player and putting them together on the roster, and like you're taking Marcus Damask's efficiency from Southern Illinois and putting him in this Illinois algorithm? Like I'd love if we could get Ken Pomeroy on the show and ask him what goes into a preseason ranking, because that just
seems a little high.
18th in offense and 24th. Like, if anything, this is going to be a fantastic defensive team, but you have a point guard who can't shoot, and you are coming off a year where you were the 331st three-point shooting team. Where does that equal 18th in offensive efficiency?
Where's that in the equation? I'm not saying it was going to be a train wreck offense.
No, I'm not saying that either. But
I do think that there are some reasonable questions about what they're going to look like, especially in the half court.
I'm not going to complain about the analytical ranking systems being high on Illinois, though. No, it's usually a good sign.
Definitely not. Wade asks, does Ben Johnson make it all season? I'm guessing at Minnesota, if that's the Ben Johnson he's talking about. I don't have any reason to think they would fire him midseason, but that's they got to move on from him, I think. I'll give him credit. I like the point guard they went out and got, Mike Mitchell, out of Pepperdine. He averaged like 12 points, 5 assists per game last year, shot 40%+ from three. I think that's a nice add for them to go with Dawson Garcia. But even last year, I mean, they had a tandem of Dawson Garcia and also Jameson Battle, and it obviously wasn't enough. So it doesn't feel like they've recruited well enough there. I mean, that's an understatement for Ben Johnson. But the fact that they're missing the Richard Pitino days, which I would imagine they are, is saying something, because that's been a cellar dweller, and there's really no signs of that changing here coming soon. Got to wrap up the show. 217 did ask us about the Illinois-Wisconsin game and our opinions on that.
We did not mention any Illinois football today, which feel like is...
It's early in the week, man.
Yeah. You guys are going to be at Pia's on Friday breaking that all down. I mean,
we didn't talk anything.
Gotta have a day to just go off the rails on some other sports.
Anything but Illinois football yesterday. And again, like, big win. I'm excited to talk Illinois, Wisconsin, get nitty gritty on it. We'll do that as we go along throughout the week. Yes, he or she on 217, what would be attending? I'm currently in the market for some tickets. I want to get out there, especially the tailgate lots, and I imagine Kyle will be there as well.
I will, for sure.
We'll talk more about that matchup as we go along tomorrow and throughout the rest of the week. Thank you to everybody for listening in. Everybody have a great night. Talk to you tomorrow. This is The Drive.
Oh.
Illini fans, gear up for the football season this year with the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. Get ready to support your Fighting Illini by shopping their great selection of Illini football merchandise, including t-shirts, sweatshirts, even brand new Nike replica jerseys. Shop with them at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campustown, or online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
Hey Illini fans, it's the best time of the year, homecoming. We can't wait to see you back on campus and at Memorial Stadium on Saturday, October 21st versus Wisconsin. Make sure to get in town early Friday for the homecoming parade and pep rally. Tailgating, family, homecoming, and Illinois football. What could be better than that? Get tickets at Fighting Illini.